Night, faithful sister, amen. Well, I won't waste take up any more time, brother. Come on up. I want to welcome our brother Vikram, Pastor Vikram, and just ask that the Lord would just, I pray for us, Lord God, that you'd open our hearts now, Lord God, to receive everything that you've placed within our brother, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. Amen. Greetings in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you excited in the house of God, in the presence of God? In His presence, there is fullness of joy. I'm so glad to be here, and I know so many people now in this place, so many brothers and sisters. And it's always a joy for me to be here. And my wife was not able to come today because she is ministering in some other place today. And so greetings from her too. So I just want to thank God, and myself and my wife, we were back on a ministry trip, because that is what God has called us to do, to travel and equip the people of God and do whatever the Lord leads us to do. So we were in UK for a couple of weeks, and then from there to Canada, and now we are in US. We were supposed to leave tomorrow for India, but I felt in my heart, no, I should stay back for a couple of more weeks. So we are back again for 2 weeks. This week we have a couple of meetings in Philadelphia. So we are on a 110 days trip. It was supposed to be 100, but now it has gone to 110 days. It's so exciting to serve God and going to different places, traveling different places, seeing the lives of people be touched by the power of God. Amen. So I believe we are living in exciting days, and a lot of good news. God is on the move, and He's touching lives, and He is still changing lives. Amen. People around the world are giving their life to Jesus. Many young people are rising up and to serve God and to serve in the kingdom of God. So this is such a blessing to see, and we are so excited by seeing all that God is doing everywhere around the world, and where the good news is being preached. Sometimes we just focus on the negative and we forget what great things God is doing. Amen. Amen. So when darkness is there, that's the good time for church to rise and do what God has called us to do. Amen. So we have to believe. What a wonderful testimony we heard in the beginning, and thanks for leading in worship, and and the presence of God is in this house. Amen. So without taking much time, let's read few. I want to take you through a few Bible verses. I arrived here at around at 10, and I was sitting outside. I was just praying and asking God, you know what your people need. You know what this church needs. And the Lord, speak through me, and even as I commit myself unto you. So this is my heart always, and this is my prayer, that heart of God should be revealed. And that is very important. Amen. So if you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Gospel of Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. I know you must be familiar with all these verses, but I pray that God will help us to see what He wants to show us today and strengthen us and build us up. Even as during the beginning you shared about the wilderness season. And I believe my message is also very connected with that. And we may go in the same line, what God has put in my heart. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1 talks about, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Everyone says, full of the Holy Spirit. I was ministering in one conference in a couple of, I think it was 1.5 months back or 1 month back, maybe more now. I was in Vancouver. I was ministering in a conference for 3 days, and And I felt in my heart, they asked me, okay, whatever you feel led to, you can minister. And I spoke from the 7 attributes of the Holy Spirit. In other words, 7 spirits of God. And I asked people in the beginning, how many of you want to receive Elijah anointing? So many people lifted up their hands. Yeah, we want Elijah anointing. I said, okay. So how many of you want Elisha anointing? And then more hands came up. And then I asked some people, how many of you want Solomon, King Solomon anointing that he had of wisdom and understanding? So many people lifted up their hands. And I told them, I do want that, but I don't want what Elisha had. I don't want what Elijah had. I want what Jesus had. Jesus was the only one who walked in the fullness of Holy Spirit. He walked in the fullness of Holy Spirit. He was the only one. For example, we see Samson. He was anointed of God, and even before he was born, his birth was announced. But he was walking in the power of Holy Spirit, but he had no wisdom. That's why he messed up his life. And at night he will sleep with a prostitute. Morning he'll get up. The anointing of God will come upon him, and then he will do great things. You know, Bible says calling and gift of God are irrevocable. It means without repentance. So once God has given us something, God is not going to take it back. But that can be dangerous if we don't know how to handle the anointing. King Saul was anointed. David was anointed. Elijah was anointed. You know, but you know what kind of person he was. He will call down fire and all those things he will do. And that's what the same disciples of Jesus wanted him to do, because he said, because people rejected him. He said, Lord, should we call down fire like Elijah? And some people say, we want to be like Elisha. You know, he was a very angry man. One day some people, young people came and they started saying, look at this bald man. He got so upset, he called the beer, and beer killed all those young people. And I don't think so. As a New Testament church, we are going to do that, because that's not what Jesus has taught us. So if you see the Old Testament prophets, none of them ever walked in the fullness of Holy Spirit. Only Jesus walked in the fullness of Holy Spirit. So I want what he has. And he has told us double. You know, people say like, you know, Elisha wanted double of what Elijah had. I want double of what Jesus had. Because he said, greater works than me shall ye do. Amen. So Jesus was the only one who walked not only in the counsel of Holy Spirit, but he also walked in the power of Holy Spirit. And also the spirit of might was upon him, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding. So he was the only one we see in the Bible who walked in the fullness, and later on that carried on through the apostles, because the same spirit came upon the apostles too. So New Testament church is a very powerful church. You are more powerful than any Old Testament prophet. Do you know, Bible has told us, Jesus said, who was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament? Anyone knows? It was John the Baptist. I don't see any recorded miracle that he performed. But he was bringing people to repentance. And people were repenting of their sins, and they were being baptized. Amen. So greatest is John the Baptist, but those who are born in this New Testament church, born of the Holy Spirit, are greater than all the Old Testament prophets. Amen. That is the position we have in Christ, because now we have become the children of God. We are the sons and daughters of God. Through the Holy Spirit, now we are adopted in the family of God. Amen. So we are in such a great position, but sad to say, not everyone walks and moves in that position, because not everyone understands. Because sometimes, you know, enemy tries to blind our eyes so that we'll not be able to see who we are. You remember what happened in the days of Gideon, even as he was, you know, hiding all the crops and whatever he had from the enemies and the Midianites and all those people. And you know, the angel of God came to him and said, you mighty man of valor. And he said, no, don't say all this. You know, God is with you. If God is with us, why all this is happening to us? Is that happened because no one was rising up to do anything? No one trusted God. No one was willing to go and face the Goliath that was standing against them. So it's another thing to say, God, why are you not doing anything? And it's another thing to say, God is with me. I am going to move forward, and God will bless me. And God will give me a breakthrough, and we will defeat all our enemies. Amen. So we have to take a step of faith. Not only do we have to believe and sleep with believing, we have to take a step of faith and move forward. So in Luke chapter 4 verse 1, when Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, now he was baptized and the Spirit of God came upon him in fullness. All the 7 attributes of Holy Spirit. In other words, I have a teaching called 7 Anointings of God, and I
took a long couple of days conference to explain everything about the seven spirits of God. And there we see that Jesus had all seven anointings, in other words, the fullness of Holy Spirit. And even as he was now full of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God led him in wilderness. Sometimes, you know, when we are called by God and chosen by God, sometimes we do go through tough and rough times, and the question arises, Lord, why did this happen to me? Why am I going through all that? What does this mean? Have I heard you wrong? Where is God right now? And why all these things I have to go through? But I want you to see the end result of this. The end result is not Luke chapter 4 verse 1, but the end result is in verse 13. You know, when he went into the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil three times. And Jesus replied back, and he defeated the enemy by the word of God, which he himself was. In verse 13 we see, 12, that Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to test. And after this, what happened? When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So here we see, devil left him. What happened after that? Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Amen. So after wilderness was the lifting up high of Jesus. After wilderness was a glory season he was entering into. Your wilderness season is not your end. There is a glory waiting for you. But it depends what do you do during your wilderness season. So here we see, when Jesus was in his wilderness season, he was fasting and he was praying and he was spending time with his heavenly Father, and devil were also coming that same time. You know, sometimes, you know, you start hearing the enemy when you're going through wilderness season. And so many voices start running in your brain, and you start thinking, why this is happening? And devil will say, you know, God has left you, and this is going to happen, and that is going to happen, and you have done such a big mistake in your life. I gave my life to the Lord in year 2002. I'm from a Sikh religious background. People who wear turbans, you know, long hair and long beards and all that. So I got saved in year 2002. I was working in UK. I wanted to get settled in that nation. But 2002, when I got saved, next day the Lord asked me, he said, leave your job, leave this country, go back to India and serve me. So on the fifth day, I left my job, went back to India without knowing anything, no church, nothing. You know, I had no idea. All I had was God in me and my Bible. That's all I had. So, but I went through a very tough time, and I had to lose all my property, and so many false allegations and cases were filed against me. 2 years, I really went through some fire. Really, it was so real. And during those times, I could, more than God, I heard devil. You know, sometimes, you know, we want God to speak to us. God, tell me, how long, Lord? But every day I could hear the voice of devil. Your life is over. Your life is finished. And sometimes bad dreams at night, and he will come with all the negative dreams and all that. And I have to get up in the morning, and I said, devil, you are a liar, because it is written, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. You will go to the nations of the world. So what I'll do, every morning I'll get up, I'll stand before the mirror, and So I started preaching to myself. Yeah, I did that. I was standing in the room. Yes, in Jesus' name, and repent, and you know, I was saying, telling myself, one day I'm going to go to nation. I better practice some English, because I was not good in English. And I'll preach to myself, and I say, yes, and Jesus loves you, and be healed in Jesus' name. All that I said, look, man, you're going to nations. I speak to myself. I decided I'm not going to allow any depression or discouragement in my life. I'm not going to speak or repeat the words of the enemy that he has spoken in my ears. I am not going to speak those negative things which people are speaking to me, and they are saying, you have done a big blunder mistake in your life by giving your life to Jesus. Every day I heard those voices in dreams, and enemies speaking into my ears, and people speaking all the negative things. But I decided, I said, no, I'm not going to allow all these things to happen. God, you called me. And here I am. And even if I die, I'm okay. I'm not going to stop trusting you. If I have to die, I better die believing God. Abraham died believing God. Though he lived in tents, he never saw that city. He lived in tents, but he died one day. Joseph died believing God. And he said, when God takes you out, take my bones with you. Look, see how much faith they had. They knew that God told our father Abraham that after 400 years, I will deliver you. So they believed God. They died believing God. Take my bones when you go to that promised land. Don't leave my bones in Egypt. So every one of us, there is a time and season when we go through a wilderness season time. But depends on what did you do in that wilderness season. Your result will depend on that. So what I did during my wilderness season, I started fasting and praying and seeking the Lord. And I said, yeah, God will use me. Yes, I will go to the nations of the world. Yes, the nations are calling me. I used to speak to myself. I told myself in front of a mirror, nations are calling you. And I decided to cut off every word of the enemy that he was speaking into my ears. Even one night, there was a physical visitation of the enemy in my room, sitting on my chest. I saw him. And I said, no. This is not, it's not what devil says. It's what God has spoken in his word. That will come to pass. So that was a wilderness season even for Jesus. And he was defeated devil every time. And then he went away until another wilderness season starts. So from that time that when I went through those two and a half years and another 2 years, but they were a little better than first 2 years, you know, I learned one thing. If wilderness season comes in my life, I don't curse it. I said, wow, God is about to do something. I should get ready and prepared. Do you remember when Jesus asked his disciple to go on the other side of the lake? What happened? There was a storm. And that storm was not from God. That was from the devil. And then he said, be still. And then he reached another side and there was a man who had the legion inside him. There was a principality that was trying to stop him to take that land. You know, I want to read one verse in the Bible which we all should know and meditate on even when we go back. It's in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And it says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Many people give up in their wilderness season. When there is no answer for a couple of days, we give up. When the enemy is speaking all the negative words in our mind, we give up. When we face difficulties, we give up. When we see Goliath standing in our front, we give up. That's what King Saul did. He was such a loser that day. He should have gone in the name of the Lord and God was with him. He gave up. He said, no, who can defeat this man? And there was a young man. He said, David, he said, I will go. I have killed lion and bear. I have rescued my sheep. My God is with me. He will defeat this enemy. The problem is not the wilderness season. The problem is we give up during our wilderness season. And Bible says, if we keep on doing good, in other words, if we keep on doing right, if we keep on doing what God has called us to do, if we keep preparing in our wilderness season, if we keep sowing seed in the wilderness season, if we keep on evangelizing in the wilderness season, serving God in the wilderness season, coming to the house of God together, fellowshipping in the wilderness season rather than cursing God, if we keep thanking God during the wilderness season, what you are doing, if you are sending those thanksgiving into your future. You know, when you are thanking God in your wilderness season, you are saying, Lord, I thank you
because you are going to take care of it. I know my good times are coming. When I, you know, when the problem started, I shared a little bit about it last time too. You know, in my life, and you know, I was going through really tough time. People were coming with guns and pistols, and I left everything, my house, my agricultural land. I moved to another city, hired a small room with a small folding bed and a gas stove. And I had to start everything again. And then I had to go to the low court and the high court and all the corruption in India and all the false allegations and false things and everything I was going through during those days. So I was getting so tired. There were times I got so tired. I said, Lord, you called me to serve you. I never thought I had to go through all that. But little did I knew that is my Bible studies. That is the degree I'm going through. And this will qualify me to serve the Lord if I do not give up. I wanted to go to the Bible school. You know, we've conducted so many Bible schools and trainings in many nations of the world. But I myself have never gone to a Bible school. They came themselves. They gave me a doctorate in divinity. They said, we've seen the work and the way you are reaching out to the nations here is, you know, we want to honor you with this certificate. You know, they gave me out of honor. But I have never been to. I wanted to go. But every time the Lord said, no, you're not going. No, you are not going. Because little did I knew that, you know, there are different ways God works in people's life. So here I was now going through difficulties. At times I was very tired. And, you know, one day I went to see one of my cousin sister in the hospital. And I had to just sit alongside her for, you know, 2-3 hours because other relative had to go out somewhere. She said, can you please be with her for 2-3 hours. I said, okay, fine. So I was sitting, there was a bench, and I sat on the bench. And then suddenly I felt like I was feeling so sleepy, I don't know. So I thought, okay, let me just lie down. And as I was lying down, and I went halfway, and suddenly I was somewhere else. I was in the middle of an ocean. And, you know, and I saw myself in that ocean. All my body was in the water. Only my eyes, my nose, and my mouth was out. And the rest of my full body was in water. But I was not drowning. And I said, oh, where am I? So much of water. It's a big ocean. I looked toward the right and the left. And, you know, everywhere around, there was no land. And then suddenly, I came back to my senses. And now I was down on the bench. I stood up. And the bench was still shaking like I was traveling in a, you know, high storm or something. I could really feel the waves or something, you know. You know, when you have traveled a long time and you get down from your flights, you know, sometimes you feel like your head is, you know, revolving around. I felt that I had the same experience. I said, oh, I was spirit traveling. God took me to another place to give me some message. I was not able to understand what God really meant by that. So I kept on asking God for 2 days. On the second day evening, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you are in the middle of ocean. It will take some time. But you will not drown. I am holding you. I said, wow. After that, such a peace came in my heart. Now I stopped declaring, like, you know, before that I was declaring every day, the last day of my problems, last day of my problems. Every morning new problems will come. I will hear preacher, all the encouraging preachers, you know, and, you know, God is going to do today. Today is your miracle. And I will say, yeah, today is my miracle. By evening, another bad news will come. But after that, I stopped praying like this. It's okay to declare. But for me, I came to a place of peace. A stillness came in my heart. As word says, be still and know I am God. He meant to say, I'm not a man. I'm not going to lie. I will do what I have promised you. I am God. You know, imagine if you look at kings in the Old Testament, even the New Testament, how they were people of their word. Though they were evil and wicked, but if they promise someone, I will give you half of my kingdom, they have to do it. You know, remember King Darius? And he passed a decree, and then later on Daniel was trapped and they had to throw him in the lion's den, and King Darius didn't want to do that, but because of his word,
He had to do it. In the morning, he went up. Daniel, has your God saved you? He said, yes, my God has saved me. Even in Herod, King Herod, you see in the Bible, one day he was so happy by seeing his stepdaughter dance, and he said, okay, ask me whatever, I'll give it to you, even half of my kingdom. And she said, I need the head of John the Baptist. But he feared John the Baptist, but because of his word, because he's a king. You know, politicians can take their words back. Oh, I never said that. We have to show them some video. You look that day you made announcement. They can come with hundreds of lies and whatever to get the votes, but the king is different. The king, once he has said something, it's not the glory of king to say something and not do it. And Bible says Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. So it's not his glory if he doesn't do what he has promised for us. Imagine if earthly kings, because of their word's sake, though they were not happy and they knew they have made a mistake and now it has been decreed and we have to do it, they did it. Imagine how much our God will do it. He is the king. And when your king has promised you something, you simply believe. And be still and know he is God, he is king. He decreed it, and it is written and sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That seal cannot be broken, never. That's why Bible says every promise in Christ Jesus is yes and amen. Amen. So we deny God, but he cannot deny himself. We are sometimes not faithful, but he is always faithful. He remains the same. We change. One Sunday we'll say, Lord, I surrender myself to you. Unto you I surrender all. And next morning we are doing something else. And now we are upset with someone and we don't want to talk. And we don't want to say hello. And we are angry and we are upset and this and that and all those things. We forget what we told God yesterday. But he never forgets. He will not forget all the prayers you have made. Nothing will go in vain. He will bring it to pass. Your job is to just keep believing and trusting him and know that he is God. After a few years of my tough time, I came to a place where I had no money left for my house rent. No money for food and nothing at all. And I was all empty. And I remember that day I spoke with God and I said, Lord, you asked me to sow seed there, I sowed it. You asked me to send some money to UK, I sent to UK. Whatever you asked me to do, though I was left with little, and I was willing to empty all my bank balance, whatever was left with me, and I did that. Lord, now is my time. And today I call upon you. You provide for me. And this is a covenant you have made. And you are not going to deny yourself. And neither are you going to deny your word. So Lord, I am waiting. From that day onwards, everything changed in my life. Amen. Because he's the king. He's not going to deny himself. We have to trust him and believe him. You know, we are not giving glory to our king if we don't trust him. One day, I was so full of unbelief, I remember, you know, it was a very tough time I was going through that day especially. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, if you are not trusting God, you are insulting him. And that spoke to me. And I said, oh my God, I'm sorry. Who am I not to trust you? You know, the creator of this universe, and we have doubts about him. Is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? Is he able to do it? And sometimes we say he's able to do it, but the question is, will he do it for me? My question is, are you called by God? That is my question.
Let's read another verse. You know, Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Again, I know you know the verse, but let's read it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, what it says. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. So Jesus said, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. We are sitting here in His presence not because we decided, it's because He decided. And He allowed us to worship Him. He allowed us to listen to His word. God gave us permission. We are not giving permission to God and we are not doing anything for God. It's Him, the King of the universe, allowed us. And He said, okay, you can come and enter my glory and worship me. So here we are called by God according to His purpose. There is a purpose, of course, to get us saved, for His glory to be revealed, of course. But no one thing, according to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, He has a plan for each and every one of us. And all His plans are greater than anything we can plan about ourselves. So better rely on Him and trust Him and surrender to Him and say, Lord, here I am and I trust You, Lord. And I am not going to cry in my wilderness season. I don't need apology of people or the mercy of people in my wilderness season. I am not waiting for someone to come and clean my tears. I understand we go through pain. I understand. But sometimes during that season you have to learn and rise as a bold lion. David was not sitting there crying, oh Lord, I say Goliath, oh come 100 people, give me hug, oh I'm sorry. I know there is a time of brokenness and we need comfort. Of course, I understand that. But if we keep on living in that, for rest of the days of our life, we will accomplish nothing. There is a time, yes, we cry, we come to God, now we are healed, that's it. We are not going back to that same brokenness. We are not going to look for someone's comfort. We are saying, no, now I'm going to give that same comfort to others by which Jesus has comforted me. Amen. Paul was not looking for people, oh, can you please cry for me? Can you please look what they did to me? He was not looking for that. Look how much they persecuted me. Look what a tough time I have gone through. Oh, church, you all understand. Thank you, thank you. See you next time again. We'll cry together. No, no. He was a lamb, man of purpose. Bold as lion. You know, when you have the lion of Judah in you, you should be bold as a lion. That's him. And he's not going to cry all his life. We come to God, yeah, we shed our tears, we go back strong. And we said, that's it. I know devil is a liar. I know you give, but he's the one who takes away. Not God. I know Job said he gives and he takes away. He had a very limited knowledge of God. Even in the rest of the chapters you can read, many places he was very limited. Thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's why sometimes when something bad happens to us, we ask God, God, why you did it to me? Lord, sir, I have not done that to you. That's the devil. Lord, why have you not done anything? Why have you not taken care of the devil? You have to take care of the devil. How can I take care of the devil? Didn't I say it? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee? The problem is, when we have to stand against devil, we are standing against God. Why, God, why? That will not solve your problems. Devil is very active out there. You know, some people don't like to talk about devil. Oh, no, 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 just praise him and just thank him. Don't talk about him. Bible speaks about him. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about we are in a spiritual battle. And it's not God. Rather than going before God, why God, why? And God on the other side will do nothing. He will not answer you. Because answer is in the Bible. Submit to God. Bring your life in order. And then rise up in that authority and rebuke him, and your situation will change. No, everything is in the hands of God. I'm sorry. Heaven belongs to God, but earth he has given to the children of man. God can send his angels to preach the gospel. He's not going to do it because he's God. Once he has said something, he's not going to change it. It's us now we have to reach out to other people. And he has said, I am with you. So God can do anything and will do anything, but not without you. You have to come alongside God and agree with God and take a step. You have to take a step. And God said, I will be with you. God is not going to take any step without you. When you take a step of faith and you move forward, God will say, oh, good, well done, I'm with you. No, Lord, you only go. God said, no, I'll go with you. I will be with you always. Amen. So whatever he has called us to do, as we do it, he is with us to comfort us, to strengthen us. And we have to allow God to take us out from all the pains that we are carrying and move forward. And be like Joshua generation and take the land. That is our call. Not to just come and sit and listen to word. Yeah, that is good. We need it. That is our food, the spiritual food. We need it. But Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So that means if you truly follow the Lord, if you truly, there is a harvest waiting for you out there. Because first, the heart desire will be, Lord, everyone should be saved. You know, about David, God said, I have found a man who is after my own heart. He will do my bidding. He will do my will. His heart was for the nation of Israel. And he became a good shepherd for them. The Spirit of God was using David. Wrote so many psalms and such a good example. Beside few mistakes he did, and he learned a big lesson, painful lesson for that. But he had a heart for God. And God said, I have found someone who is after my own heart. So Jesus never said, follow me, I will make you a businessman. I will make you a good serviceman. I will make you army men. Yeah, he will open doors for us, but that business, that job is not for job only. That's for souls to be saved. Every money you get, whatever opportunity comes, whichever job you got, you are the light of the world in that place. And let your light shine. No. We will only allow our light shine in the church only. Rest 6 days, switch off. And once we enter the church, hallelujah, praise the Lord, ting, switch on. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, time over. As we're going to enter the car, switch off, back in the world. You have to allow it to shine wherever you go. Oh no, what if they persecute us? That's fine. That's an honor. There is a reward for that. Even if you are persecuted for Lord's sake, do you know there is a reward? That's what Matthew chapter 5 verse 10 and 11 talks about. When people say all kind of bad things and lies and whatever against you and they persecute you, you know what to do? Cry, come to the church. Oh, please comfort me. My office people are... all the time I'm crying. No. Rejoice. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. So that means if you face any difficulty or hardship because of his work's sake, God will add on your reward. And God is saying, be thankful when you go through that wilderness season. Be thankful when you are persecuted. Be thankful when you're going through tough times, because you're gathering your reward. Your eyes are on heaven. You know, that's where your treasure should be. The problem is we're looking down on this earth. Lord, I was persecuted. I don't see any reward for that. Lord said, look up. Oh, Lord, now I can see it. Moses saw it. Do you know Moses saw it? Do you know 40 days and 40 nights, Moses saw everything in the heaven. The tabernacle, the worship, the pattern. And God said, do everything according to you have seen. He saw it. God showed him. And he was willing to deny himself everything and said, no. My reward waits for me over there. Jesus came from heaven. That's why he was not looking for glory from man and to talk good about him and to be a king on this earth. If someone has called to be a king, it's okay. That's no problem. But he knew where he came from and where he was going. He knew it. That's why he was willing to lay down his life and be obedient unto death, even death on the cross. He was not crying, Father, look at me, how they did it. Look what Judah is going to do. Look what Peter denied me. He was not crying for all these things. He was not a child, a baby Jesus. He was mature. And that's what God wants us to be, mature Christians. Not looking for any other person to come and, you know, cleanse our tears. No. We are going to go out and cleanse other people's tears. Amen. And we are going to act mature and rise up and let our light shine. And we are going to rejoice in the wilderness, because when we come out of it, we will come out stronger. Amen. You can give the Lord a clap offering. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit when he went into wilderness. But when he came out, he was full of the power of God. Ready to work miracles, healings, wonders, raise the dead. I have understood one thing. Sometimes more than fasting, wilderness season works. More than fasting, sometimes wilderness season works. Tell me, how many days did Moses fasted before he saw that burning bush? How many days? Was he praying? He had no Bible. All he knew what his came from the fathers. That's all. One day God will deliver. And he thought, okay, he knew I am the one. God has a plan for my life. But he wanted to do things his own way. God said, Moses, I don't need your power. I don't need your ability. I need your surrender. Where you say, I am nothing, Lord. You move. Because if you do with your power, you are very limited, Moses. But because if you do with your power, many Israelites will die. But if I do it, none of them will perish. So 40 years of wilderness season, no fasting, praying, no seeking God. And after 40 years, God said, now I'm ready to reveal myself to Moses. What? I thought you will reveal yourself to me after I fast. It's okay to fast. But no, now God saw Moses was prepared after that long wilderness season. And God said, Lord Moses, I have not taken away the call you have upon your life. The only thing is, I was preparing you. Lord, how? In the Bible college? No. I was preparing you in your wilderness season. You were faithful whatever came on your way. You became a shepherd. You humbled yourself. Prince of Egypt. Taking care of his father-in-law's flocks. Faithful to his wife. God tested him those 40 years. God said, now who can stop me to appear before Moses?
Moses, go in my name. I am with you. Hallelujah. You know, David, he had to go through wilderness season. But you know what happened afterwards? People themselves went to him. We want you to be our king. The same people who rejected him now went to him because they wanted David to be their king. The same people who reject you will honor you. They will value you. They will know how precious you are. David was faithful to God even in that wilderness season when he was running away from Saul. And he didn't fight for that position. And he didn't try to kill Saul. And he was just faithful in what God had called him to do. He gave everything to God. He had no greediness in his heart to be a leader or whatever. All his heart was to serve God whichever way possible. And then God honored David. People themselves went to him. Same people who wanted to kill him. Please be our king. We will do whatever you say. The same people who rejected you. If you are thankful in your wilderness season, if you don't give up on faith, if you keep on trusting God, if you keep on growing stronger and reading the word and loving the Holy Spirit and worshiping him and praising him and be thankful to him and keep on doing good, even if you are going through wilderness season, there is a reward waiting for you. Many people don't understand how to take opportunity of this wilderness season. People look at it as a curse. I don't look at it as a curse anymore because I understood. It took me a couple of years. I know whatever happens is going to be for the glory of God. Even last time when I shared, you know, I think I shared about my son's testimony, how we met with an accident and his C2 neck got fractured. And, you know, and we were in the hills and it was a long, many, many hours journey back to the main hospital. By next day only we reached there. He could have died on the way. And I was sitting in the front of the ambulance with my another son and my finger fractured and few small other wounds. And I was just sitting in front and I was praying. And I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, if you save my son, I will serve you with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my mind. This is my promise. But I said, Lord, if my son dies, I will serve you double. I said, nothing will take my commitment away towards you. Not even his death. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to question you. I'm not going to say, why God, why? If I have to go through this, I'm ready for it. If I go through fire, I'm ready for it. Because I know, after I'm out of it, I will be much more stronger than I ever was. And that will be useful for the kingdom of God. Sometime brokenness comes. But God, by his resurrection power, is able to turn it around and make you rise up as a spiritual warrior. Amen. Where you are not crying for every small thing. I know pain is real. I know that. I myself go through that. But you have that warrior spirit in you. Where you do not give up. You know, people who go for army, they are prepared. They are prepared. They are taught. You know, I saw one movie recently. I forgot the name of the movie. And, you know, they had to go and fight with the Germans. And they have to keep on running forward. And they all knew they are going to die. Even their people were dying. Still, they were walking and they were dying. And they have to keep falling and falling and falling. They obeyed their commander's instructions, his commands. I said, wow. God wants to bring to us such a place where we'll say, yes, Lord, here I am. God will say, now you are useful to me. And I know now I can trust you and send you. And I know you will go wherever I ask you to go. And I know you will forgive. Doesn't matter how much people break your heart. Because you defeated that small enemy, I'll take you and stand before Goliath. And I will be with you. And Goliath will be defeated. And you will become a king. In other words, kingly anointing will come upon your life. Amen. And you are faithful as a priest, God will raise you up. And he will say, I will make you a blessing to the nations. I will make you a blessing for many. Because now you are what I wanted you to be. I could have stayed like that and spent the rest of my life in pain. You don't know, brother, you know what happened to me 20 years back? You know how much, I'm sorry. 30 years back, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I want to tell people for me, yes, they are sorry for me, what happened 30 years back. I don't want that anymore. There was a time, yes, I needed comfort of people. But sorry to say, there was no one. No one. Not even a single Christian. Because I knew no one. Very few Christians were there in my place. And even the people I knew, they asked me to leave the church. One pastor I knew, he said, don't come to church. And the reason was because the mafia people were after me and they didn't want any trouble in their church. So I understand that. I was not upset with them. So I was all alone. No one to comfort me. And I thank God during that season no one was there because I now know how to receive comfort from God. I may cry in the room, but when I go out, I will stand out as a bold lion. When we met with an accident, after 2 days I was supposed to minister in the church, one of our church. And I told my leaders, don't tell anyone in the church what happened to us. Only after Sunday meeting, because I don't want it to be disturbed. I don't want people to cry during that service because of what's happened with the son. Because everyone knows him, he's a keyboardist and now he's doing his MBA in UK. So I ministered that day boldly. And after everything got over and people delivered and healed and the message delivered and whatever, in the end, I said, I want to say something. And we met with an accident. Now everyone was crying. And people said, how can you do that? I said, I know how to receive comfort from God. Amen. I'm not going to bring my pain on the pulpit. I'm going to live in the throne room. And I said, Lord, here is it. I give it to you. And I need your boldness and courage because your people need help. Hallelujah. You can allow God to make you, build you in your wilderness season. If Jesus went through, sometimes we have to go through. But be thankful. Keep growing in the Lord. You will grow stronger and bigger in your spirit, and no Goliath will be able to stand against you. Shall we close our eyes? Keys, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just close your eyes, your head bows. If any of you want to come forward, it's fine. You can come on your knees if you want to come forward, or you can stand. And you can just give away your pain to God today and say, Lord, I don't want to carry it anymore. And I understood one thing. I'm not going to curse my wilderness season. But I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to walk in the wisdom of God. And I'm not going to mess up my life. Because we can become rebellious very easily in the wilderness season. By blaming God and saying, why God, why? And then people become rebellious and they walk in sin and start living their life in sin and they start making so many terrible mistakes. That's why they don't grow up. But if you are going through a wilderness season, I want to tell you this is a good time for you to surrender and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for this season I'm going through. And Lord, make me and build me and mold me and do whatever you want to do. Here I am in your presence. Even if this is a fiery furnace, this is where 24 karat pure gold will come out. This is where filthiness will leave. This is where my sin will be removed. With this is where all the complainings will go, and all the rebellious that is in my heart, which I don't know, have any idea about. When I sense it, I see there is some rebellion hiding in my heart, Lord. But during this wilderness season, I know I can sense it all, what I am going through. But Lord, today I give it unto you, and I'm not going to live in this anymore. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. Even as we are in His presence, just surrender. I surrender. I surrender. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Can you all sing together? I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Once again, last time. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed. When we are saying, Lord, I surrender more, we mean to say, Lord, I trust You. We mean to say, Lord, I trust You for my life, for my family, for my expenses, for my future, for a new strength to come in my life, so I don't have to go back and fall in sin anymore. I trust You, Lord, that today You will deliver me. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I trust You that I am set free completely from all bondage. And I stand against every work of the enemy, and I rebuke him in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, let Your people rise up today in their spirit. Let the Lion of Judah roar through them. In Jesus' name, let them rise up to God's given full potential of Holy Spirit ability in their life. In the name of Jesus, that they are not weak anymore, and they are not in pain anymore, because today You have taken their pain away. They are not going to live in shame anymore. But even as they follow You, they will become fishers of men. In the name of Jesus, I speak a great transformation in this place, Father. Let this not be another sermon for us, but this is a life-giving word by which the universe was created. And Lord, I pray that same word will create Your people today and make them the way You want them to be. In the name of Jesus, let there be a transformation in their thinking. Let there be a transformation in their seeing. Let there be a transformation in their walking. Let there be a transformation in their talk. Let this miracle take place right now. Ora mama seria, ramatora ba seria. Fishers of men. Let there be evangelism. Let there be reaching out to broken lives. Let there be reaching out to new souls. Let many new souls be added into the kingdom of God, into the house of God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your blessing flow upon their lives and let them walk out and be a blessing for many today onwards in Jesus' name. Lord, you are able, Lord, you are able. When I look at myself, I don't trust myself. When I look at others, I don't see anything. But when I look at you, I know all things are possible for those who believe. And Lord, I trust you and I believe you for these lives. And let many more people be added into the house of God. Bring many souls like a magnet in your presence, Father God. I give you glory and I give you honor and I give you praise and thanks for your presence. They are your people. They have surrendered their lives in your hand. You are the King. You will take care of them, Father, because you are faithful. I thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a mighty shout or offering? Amen. Amen. You have a small clip? It's not ready. Oh, it's okay. Thank you so much.